Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this glorious 4th of July. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find at the top on the inside of your bulletin. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently today, and the first thing I would like for you to do is to pass the peace. So if you would please stand up, say hello, greet people, and tell them happy 4th of July. We are so glad to have you here today. And welcome to Main Street. All right, I hate to call an end to this, but if you would please regain your seats. We have some announcements that I would like to call to your attention. I particularly want to note things that you will see in your bulletin. For example, the church office will be closed tomorrow, and there will be no newsletter that will come out this week because of the 4th of July holiday. You will also notice that in the bulletin that there is a mention of the Wednesday summer Bible study, the afternoon at the movies, and the fact that the upper room is now available. You can join the Wednesday Bible studies at any point. You didn't have to be there at the very beginning. You can come now, and you're welcome, and it'll still work. I would also like to call your attention to an announcement that was in the newsletter. There was a plea that went out in the newsletter for more prayer warriors to please volunteer. Our children need that support. And we are growing. We're getting new children all the time. For example, on Friday, Lee and Alice Dorn welcomed Margaret Calhoun about 7 a.m. on Friday morning. Margaret Calhoun needs a prayer warrior. So we need prayer warriors to volunteer. And if you didn't get the form, you didn't save your newsletter, you've lost it, whatever, call the church office Tuesday and say, please give me information. Please let me fill out the form or let me tell you over the phone what I would like to do, because we need more prayer warriors. I also want to ask you to keep our Salkehatchie workers in your prayers, because they will leave next Sunday to go to Bamberg. They will be working Salkehatchie from July the 10th through the 17th. So please keep them in your prayers, because they do solicit and need your prayers support. Now, let us continue our worship and center our minds and hearts as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you.
Those who may, please stand for the call to worship. The realm of God has come near. Enter this time of worship with joyous expectations. We will extol you, O God, for you have drawn us up. You rescued us from the pit and restored us to life. Sing praises to God, all faithful ones. Give thanks to God's holy name. We have known your favor, O God, in many ways. You have healed us and owed our mourning to dancing. Rejoice in the work you are given to do. Give thanks that your names are known to God. We will praise you, O God, and not be silent. We will give thanks to you forever.
As printed in your bulletin, gracious God, our helper, We greet you this morning with joy and thanksgiving. We feel your welcome and anticipate your teaching. Show us this day what you would have us to do, whether it be great or small. We want to do what you command. Let our ears be attentive to your word and our hearts be responsive to the opportunities you grant us to bear one another's burdens. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated.
Dear friends, today we welcome Reverend Terry Martin, who has been appointed to serve as our pastor. We believe that he is well qualified and has been prayerfully appointed by our Bishop, Mary Virginia Taylor. Reverend Martin, you have been sent to live among us as a bearer of the Word of God, a minister of the sacraments, and a sustainer of love, order, and discipline of the people of God.
Today, I reaffirm this commitment in the presence of this congregation.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, as people committed to participate in the ministries of the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, will you who celebrate this new beginning support and uphold Terry in these ministries? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger. Pray together. Eternal God, strengthen and sustain us in our ministries together with Terry Martin as our pastor. Give him and us patience, courage, and wisdom so to care for one another and challenge one another that together we may follow Jesus Christ, living together in love and offering our gifts and our talents in your service through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Reverend Martin, accept this Bible and be among us as one who proclaims the word. Amen.
Reverend Martin, take this water and baptize new Christians in this place.
Amen. Reverend Martin, take this bread and this cup and keep us in communion with Christ and His church. Amen.
Reverend Martin, use this hymnal and book of worship to guide us in our prayer and praise. Amen.
Reverend Martin, receive this book of discipline and keep us and help us keep the covenant that strengthens our connections as United Methodists. Amen.
Reverend Martin, take this globe, receive it, and lead us in mission in this community and throughout the world.
Reverend Martin, receive this stole, signifying your consecration, and equip us for our ministries into the world.
This yoke is laid upon me, and I willingly take it upon myself. Let us pray together. Lord God, bless the ministries of your church. We thank you for the variety of gifts you have bestowed upon us. Draw us together in one spirit, that each of us may use our different gifts as members of one body. May your word be proclaimed with faithfulness, and may we be doers of your word, and not hearers only, as we who have died and risen with Christ in baptism gather at his table and then scatter into the world. May we be one in service to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
At this time, Reverend Martin will kneel, and I'm going to ask the presenters to come and place their hands on his shoulders. I'll ask the choir to stand, and I will ask you, the congregation, to participate in this laying on of hands by standing, moving to the center aisle, and moving forward as you may. You may not be able to touch Reverend Martin, but you'll be able to touch someone who is touching him, so just move to the center aisle and move forward. Stand. No, just stand. We're all going to, everybody will have their hand on somebody. And if you're not touching him, you'll be touching someone who is touching him as we bless Reverend Martin at the beginning of his ministry here at Main Street. And will you join me in this unison blessing? Reverend Martin, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you. You may return to your seats.
Today's epistle lesson is from the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, verses 1 and then 13 through 25. You can find this message on page 232 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. For Paul, the freedom Christ gives us is not permission to do whatever we want. It is the ability to be able to be what we could not be otherwise. The power and guidance of the Spirit produces a different kind of life, one marked by the qualities Paul lists in his readings. Listen now for God's word to us. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, For what the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit, and what the spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, sensuousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us have a moment of prayer. Holy God, as we still ourselves in this sacred place, a place where we have sung the songs of Zion before, a place where we have prayed before, to a God who has not grown old but remains the same, a God who has heard in the past, a God who hears us today and will hear us in the future, a God who has blessed us in spite of our sins, a God who has met us bountifully and has given us this land of plenty. We pray, Almighty God, on this, the birthday of our great land, to a God that was here from very creation, a God who is above all, through all, and in all. And when kingdoms rise and fall, this God still remains. So we humbly come before you this day, thanking you again for this wonderful privilege of life in this land of freedom. And we pray for peace of the world and peace of Jerusalem. We look forward to that time when swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. When that time when the lion and the lamb will lie down together, and we will study peace and not war. Until then, Almighty God, may we be faithful to hold up the standard, to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge, to be your people, whether at home or abroad, to hear God's call to us. And dear God, we pray for those of our church family this day who have special needs, that you indeed would touch them, that you would prove yourself again the God that never leaves and never forsakes. And we pray for our troops who are serving wherever they are sent, home and abroad, in and out of harm's way. May they know this day that there are people that pray for them. For the leaders of our great land, those elected by our votes, and by the bishops and those who lead the church, Holy God, lead them. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Sisters, would you come, please?
Almighty God, we give these gifts. May they be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ at home and abroad. Bless giver and gift those who had not to give this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
When you come up, don't sit down today. We're going to walk around a little bit. Okay? Can you stand up? I want you to come over here with me first. What is this? The flag of the United States, right? And what is today?
Independence Day.
It's July 4th. And so we celebrate our freedom, and this flag stands for our country and the fact that we have freedom, right? And you go to school, those of you who are in school already, you say something every morning, usually at school. The Pledge of Allegiance. You're pledging to your country that you will be faithful to that country, right? And that you'll uphold its principles. Okay, now we're going to walk to the other side. Go over there. You might not know this flag as well. It's here every Sunday, but we just kind of forget about it sometimes. Because nobody says Pledge of Allegiance at school to this one. You see this flag? Now, what flag is this?
The Christian flag.
The Christian flag. Very, very good. So what does it have on it?
A cross.
And who do we think of when we think of the cross?
Jesus.
So as we think about freedom, when we look at that flag, freedom for our country, we think of a different kind of freedom when we look at this one. Do you know what kind of freedom? Freedom from our sins, very good. We got the scholar down here. I don't even need to be here. That's exactly right. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a different kind of freedom. It's a freedom that if we're following His example and we're doing the things He would like for us to do, do we need to be scared?
No.
No, we're not going to get in trouble or anything, right? If you're following the commandments and you're following the example of Jesus, you have a great freedom inside. So we don't necessarily stand and pledge allegiance to this flag, but by praying to Jesus, you are showing your allegiance. And praying to God, you're showing your allegiance to Him too. And we have great freedom. And it's a great thing to celebrate on this day, isn't it? Not just for our country, but for ourselves. Let's join hands. Can we join hands somehow? Kinda. Well, let's see. Can I do that? Okay. There we go. Okay. You want to repeat after me?
Our Father
in heaven, thank you for the freedom that you have given us by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And please bless our country on this day that we celebrate our freedom. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us make our affirmation of faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to thank the PPRC for their kindness during this transitional time, and for Larry and for the choir and their support here this morning, and for you for being here on what would otherwise be your vacation. It is a good day to be in God's house, and it's a good day and a great day to be at Main Street, and I am thrilled to be your pastor and to come back into the part of the country that I left about 13 years ago when I left the Spartanburg district and went down to Walterboro. And I've been down there for the last 13 years, and so now I'm back up here, and I'm at a place that my wife didn't know where all the shortcuts are. She knows all the shortcuts in the PD area, and we'd be going places, and she would say, "Oh, I forgot. You didn't know your way. I didn't forget." And so now I'm telling her about Mountville, and Cross Hill, Hodges. These are places she's never heard of. So it is good to be here, and I look out and see some friendly faces, and one of my very dear friends from high school, Don and Linda Swigert, are here, and it's so good to see them. 234 years ago, July the 4th, 1776, King George III wrote in his journal, "Nothing of any major importance occurred today." I was sharing that with one of my friends as we were walking the corridors at Florence at the Civic Center, and I guess this is Radlin. I might can fix it. And I said to him, I said, "You know what King George wrote?" And I told him what I just told you, and he said, "Boy, he could have used the internet, couldn't he?" Sort of tells you how we Methodist ministers think these days, doesn't it? And as I read the volumes of David Ramsey, a historian who wrote about the American Revolution during the time of the American Revolution, a historian during those days, and I looked at my wife after I'd been reading for numerous pages, and I said, "I sure will be glad when we win a battle." Because as I read this volume, these volumes again, and in my mind went back to those days when our country was being formed and was confronted again with the reality of what we did not have. We did not have a trained army. We did not have designated leaders. We did not have a national monetary system where our soldiers could be effectively paid. We did not have a good supply system. We did not have a navy. And we, our foreparents, chose to take a stand for liberty. It was a big question. Will we break away from that source, our mother country, and fight against them, against the greatest military power, one of the greatest, at least, of that day, England and France. And it was a choice that was made. And as I read Edgar Walter's books about the American Revolution in this part of South Carolina, I realized again that there really wasn't that much of a resistance. Charleston fell very handily into the hands of the British. They advanced to Camden. And there made a crucial mistake. Because it was said to them that if you would not take up arms against England, that they would honor that and would not come in and take away your farm animals and your cotton and your indigo and your tobacco. That they would leave you to support your family and just don't take up arms against them again. Everybody, most of the people, Charleston said, okay, that'll work. And then in Camden, the decision was made at the departure of the British forces to burn it and started the first scorched earth policy in North America. We know about the second one, but this was the first one. They were taking from the farmers. They were not able to keep their word, and they were the best paid, best trained, best supplied army in the continent. And something happened in backwoods South Carolina. The British government lost the heart of the frontier American. And so when we look at all that we did not have and what we were not able to provide, one thing that we did have is heart. And when you think about our country, and you think about our past, and you think about Pearl Harbor and those other times that we were not prepared and that we were not ready, the heart of the American people is what has come forward. And you see, I think that parallels with us as Gentile Christians. You look at all the things in the Christian lineage that we did not have. We did not and do not have the heritage of Judaism. We do not have the sacraments as a part of our lineage. But Paul, writing about us, says that we who were separated from the commonwealth of Israel, we who were without hope and without God in the world, that God looked upon us and loved us and grafted us in. We were helpless and hopeless and lost. And I guess you could say that we didn't have heart either. But God had heart. God had heart in that He sent the best that heaven had to offer. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem lost humanity. Yesterday, watching the History Channel, I became aware again of George Washington and his sacrifice, and at Yorktown, the last
thing that his son wanted to do was to go and to fight with his father. And so George surrendered, and his son, his only son, died as a result of being there in the camp at Yorktown. We too can think about our sacrifices. I've always considered it an honor to talk to those old veterans that were in the churches that I pastored, those that survived Bataan Death March and were a part of the Normandy invasion. And I've sat down and talked with them many times, and I would say to them, "How did you survive?" And they would say, "By luck." A lot of men, just as good as me, didn't make it. Others would say, "By my prayers." And just last week, I stood at the grave of one of my former parishioners, and we pulled out the 91st Psalm. "The Lord is my refuge." And that was the psalm that he carried all during World War II, and carried it until the very day that he died, putting his trust in God. So in the passages of Scripture that we have read this morning from Galatians, and we hear that statement about freedom, and we understand that the freedom that we have is not free, that it has cost. My mother told me about my uncle who died at Guadalcanal. But the stories that they tell are not near to be compared to the story of our redemption through Jesus Christ. When you and I were sinless, sinful, when we were separated from God, God loved us. As I think about who we are and who I am as a child of God, as a United Methodist minister, I realize I'm a sojourner. I join hands with Abraham and with those other patriarchs of old, journeying a life of commitment to God. The first day that I entered the ministry, we had practically everything that we owned in the back of a pickup truck. It took a Smith Dreyline van to move us this time. Truck, 18-wheeler. I looked out front and said, "Why did they send that big thing?" But they did. I guess they moved a lot of ministers. Maybe they had more than one minister they were going to put on that truck. I don't know. It was sure bigger than a pickup truck. But I remember traveling in that pickup truck and looking down at the highway and seeing those white lines in the road just flipping by. And I looked at the guy that was driving and I said, "You know, I don't really know exactly where I'm going." Oh, I knew the town where I was going, but I knew that I had committed my life to service and ministry, and I had no idea where I was going to wind up. And when I sat down with my DS a few months ago now, and she said, "Terry, what are you going to do?" And I said, "I don't know." And she said, "You better be making up your mind." And so I went back later and told her, I said, I think it's time for us to move. It's a journey of faith and commitment. And as we read this passage of Scripture in Galatians,
It tells us about the type of heart not to have. And it also tells us the type of heart that we should have. And so I ask you, Main Street United Methodist Church, you have a wonderful past. You have a phenomenal story of faith and hope and love. Tell me about your heart now. Our soldiers are fighting on foreign battlefields at this very moment. We have an offer to Iraq and to Afghanistan that if you have heart, we will come. Whether you agree with it or not, this is what has happened. We have gone and we have fought, and our men and women have died. And the question that we'll be looking to them is saying, will you protect your freedom? Will you take advantage of what's being offered to you? And Christ comes to us today as Christians and says to us, will you take this message of the gospel wherever? Will you share this fabulous freedom that you have in Jesus Christ with those who are in bondage, with those who have no hope? Will you take this gospel beyond the four walls of this church and share it with those you come in contact with? Is this fabulous freedom that we have achieved and been given to us worth you taking up your cross, as Jesus said, and following Him? Freedom that we enjoy this day. The Statue of Liberty holds up the torch there in the harbor and says, send me those that want to breathe free. This morning as I lay in my bed, I took a deep breath of freedom. And I thought to myself, can I breathe freedom? And I breathed it. I said, yes. Can I feel freedom? Yes. Can I participate in freedom? Yes. And this morning, as Americans, because of the past, we're free. But we have a much greater freedom. And that's what Paul was talking about as he faced the Roman Empire. He said, there's a freedom greater than the powers of the Roman Empire. And it's the freedom that God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ. As we stand with our toes in freedom's great land, what are you going to do with this Christian freedom that God has given you and me? Amen. Invite the veterans to come forward. Won't you show your appreciation to these men and ladies that have come and stand before us? I'm almost speechless as I stand before these guys, and I know that in the Medal of Honor winners that I have talked to in the past, to almost every individual, they would just look at me and say, "I'm just doing my job." And we thank these veterans, of which I am one, as you know, for doing their job, standing in the gap when the country called. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we pause on this 4th of July, the 234th birthday of our nation, we thank you, dear God, for the sacrifice and the commitment that men and women have made to the call of freedom. And Lord, we thank you for those missionaries and ministers and circuit riders of old that went throughout this country of ours and even here in Greenwood to tell the old, old story. Oh God, continue to bless our church, our town, our land, with men and women who are faithful to the call. Be with us now as we go forward from this place. Let the grace of our God rest upon us and keep us, and may your blessings keep us free. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.